Hey folks, it's episode 12 of Radio Bros, and this time we're talking about something, well, I used to do, still do, sometimes do, frequently, sometimes not, and then other times lots of other people do it. And during this sort of crazy climate we've got going on, it's getting worse, or better, depending on how you see it. We are actually talking about online gaming, people, so clean your filthy ears out and let's get game on. So, I guess we need a bit of a historical lesson here, don't we, my friend?
Oh, history. You're let's better start, at that than me.
Let's start with the... Well, yeah, because I'm an old bastard, so that's why this...
I'd say nothing
there. Yeah, you're the old one. You tell us how it was back in the day, Grandpa.
I'm talking like back in the day as well. I've been talking back in the day with gaming as well, so I think I can see where you're going.
So, I think... So, for me, I mean, before the internet, I mean... People are listening to this and go, there was a before the internet? Yes, people, there was a before the internet. You know, the obviously gaming was still a factor, always has been. You know, there's always been the console wars, you know, sort of PlayStation versus Super Nintendo versus Sega versus gosh knows, you know, all plethora of gaming consoles out there. So there's always been gaming, but it gets really interesting when you're playing against other people. And I think evolution of networking, I mean, even as the sort of internet started spinning up on dial-up, you know, that really, really antiquated thing that where it used to make all the... Exactly, yeah. People are saying, what the heck is that? So, you know, even when that sort of kicked off, you know, we used to go to LAN parties, and a LAN party was, as the name suggests, is a bunch of people playing the same game in the same space.
You've been to LAN parties? Because I've never been.
Oh, many times, yeah. So we had an internet hosting service, or an internet service provider, a couple of doors along from where I used to work, and I got to know the guys quite well, because we were obviously transitioning onto the triple web, as it were, back then, you know, the World Wide Web. As
it was. Living right next door to an ISP.
Yeah, it was kind of handy, right? It was kind of handy. So we sort of snuck in there after work and just, you know, played on the PCs with the internet club that were sort of doing the night shift. So that was it was all good fun. So, you know, it's been around for a while, and then obviously, you know, I think, as evolution's gone, I think the key point as well, another key point here, is that everyone had to have a physical copy of the game. So you'd have
a floppy disk or a CD.
You'd have a lot of it installed, yeah. And then you'd have, you know, probably the music and stuff being read off the CD. So there was a sort of, if you like, a sort of copyright checker in there. So if you didn't have the disk, it wouldn't work, basically.
Oh, yes, DRM did come along eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, let's not go into that realm, otherwise I'll be here all day. But essentially, people
with gaming.
Yeah, exactly. So people like to game communally. So it's just, you know, and now, obviously, internet gaming has just exploded because people are at home and they're not allowed outside their doors. So basically, they're hitting the consoles, and we've seen a surge in console sales. And now, as much as online gaming has changed, so you've got this space again, you know, where you've got a copy of the game, you get online, you pay a subscription for that, strangely enough. So, you know, platforms offer their own sort of area of space which you play in. I think we're going to touch on that a little bit more. Yeah. But, you know, you get on there and you play other people, you get your ass whooped, if you're me, quite a lot.
I'm so bad at playing computer games. Yes, I will get my ass
whooped. I did get quite good at some. So I think the key challenge is, initially you're going to be an absolute horse's ass, basically. I tell you what was interesting. When I first started sort of cloud gaming, you know, you're playing in this sort of unknown realm. You're not playing with your friends anymore. You're not in a room with your friends anymore. You're with these complete strangers. And so you'll get shot in the head, and somebody will go, ha, 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 I kill you, right? And you'll be like, how old are you? I'm 8.
You got killed by an 8-year-old or 11-year-old.
So, you know, that kind of put me off a little bit. But as you kind of play on and on and on, you know how people, you kind of get better at it, and you can hold your own, and people kind of you know, I wouldn't say I'm the best. I mean, there's, these days you've got elite game, e-games, haven't you? You've got, you know,
yeah, this, e-games, yeah.
Or, you know, we're actually, one of them is actually on the stock market. And
oh, you're talking about the big, huge gaming
contest.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so, yes. You know,
that's an official sport now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Esports, yeah. So
it's kind of weird that you're bringing this up, though. There is a slight parallel. It's another topic, but I think it does play into what you're building into, because you mentioned about media. So, you know, there was a point, yeah, you had to buy the floppy or the CD or some other thing to get the game and then install it on a computer. And then there's a point where you could just download it from the internet now.
Sure.
So that will play in. I think I can see where you're going from here.
Yeah, just make sure you've got a decent bandwidth for that. I can assure you. I mean, these days, I mean, gosh, forbid, they are ginormous, you know? I mean,
I can imagine.
back when we were playing, shall I say it? Quake? Yeah, let's say.
Oh, wow, Quake.
Yeah, it was still manageable on a CD, which was back then, what, 650 meg back then? The early days?
Yeah. I remember when people used to just show off, I've got a 500 megabyte hard drive.
Wow. I mean, now it's like, you know, a terabyte is just common practice, right?
Quake is a good example, because I do remember Quake 3 Arena, which is the multiplayer game.
Yeah, you could capture the flags and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So within one game, you've got all these other kind of avenues to play and try and get, you know, a different angle on things. So you've got teammates, everyone against everyone, player against player, you know, team versus team, capture the flag, that sort of thing. So you've got this camaraderie versus blast the living crap out of everyone. and a lot of games are like that, you know, blast the crap out of everyone. But I think online gaming is touch and go for me these days. And you've not really delved into it at all, have you? Or have you dabbled a little bit?
Well, I've tried. I tried and I failed miserably. Maybe I'll try again. I've got kids that could probably try to teach me.
They're about 11 and train them up with their fingers. Start getting them on the, you know, they have these guitar things that you used to use to tone up your fingers, build your fingers muscles up. And you get them doing that and you can get them get them on a touch typing course, you know, and as long as they're 150,000 words a minute, then, you know, they're busting magic skills.
I'm getting memories of Mavis Beacon. Please stop.
Exactly. But it is. I mean, you see these people and their fingers are just, they're insane. It just moves. I mean, I guess a lot of games are centered towards first person shooters. You know, there's a lot of, and first person actions, not necessarily shooting. They could be doing other things, like some of the later titles that I've played in the online world involved Cowboys, dare I say. I'm not going to say the name of it, but...
We're not allowed to say the name.
I'm not going to say the name of it, I said.
Oh, okay. I'll say it for the listeners.
Go on, then.
I think you're talking about Red Dead Redemption 2.
I am absolutely talking about RDR 2.
See, I might be useless with playing games, but I know.
you know roughly about them. That's
I know roughly about them.
You know of them. They exist. Yeah. So I think, that was the last. That was the last online game I played, and I think it was good fun. I got my ass.
Well, tell us your experience about the online gaming. How did it feel that you're not in? You talk about LAN party, in the same room as people playing together on that network, and now you're playing with people you can't see. You can only hear on your little headset.
Well, I tend to turn it down. You know, I'm not a chatter online. I'm not. I mean, I don't know why. I just can't be bothered. There's just so much junk on there that maybe it's just me. I just want to play the game. I want to kill people and that's it. I want to get out, do the job, get the fuck out of there. You know what I mean? It's very much like my career, actually. It's just, I do the job, get the fuck out of there.
Not much of a community person on the gaming.
Do a proper job that involves, doesn't involve killing people. So, but no, as a pastime, you know. But no, so you get this sort of banter, you know. There was a couple of games where some very popular large map games. There was a couple. Obviously, there's GTA that was very popular, especially with the heists that people could do within the game. And there was a game I played a long time ago that involved that sort of thing. It wasn't exactly, but it was like robbing from a shop while, you know, you kept guard. And it's just little...
Saints Row or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so... You know, you sort of stand outside and the guy would be like, Hey there, hey there, hey there, get in the car, get in the car, get in the car, get in the car. I'm trying to get in the fucking car, all right? Hold your horses. And then they start driving off, so you'd be sort of pegging after them, and you're like, oh, forget it, you know? And then, or some other time, you'll end up on top of the car, and they'd go driving off with you on. So I guess it's. I don't know how to react to that.
It gets a bit too chatty for you.
It does. I mean.
So you're. You're a PlayStation fan, aren't you?
I've had both consoles.
You had both.
Have both at one point. The season two, shall we say, I had the PS2 and the 360 at the same time.
Oh wow! Two at the same time.
Yeah.
Geeking out on games.
Well, they both had some very exclusive titles which I wanted to play. You know, and I think for me,
nice, interesting annoyance and grievance. I think.
Yeah, it is. It is because
part
you know, there's,
of that
there's
for
some
future episode.
I think so. So let's put it into perspective. Gears of War on the Xbox was phenomenal, and I played that multiplayer for a long, long time, and I loved it. I loved the way it worked, and
I was going to get at something here. Mm, talk about your fancy with the PlayStation right now, because I know we've been eyeballing something. But
yes, it's close. It's close, people.
So these game services, Microsoft and PlayStation, they have the PlayStation Network, and there's the Microsoft one. Now I don't know too much about it. I know about PlayStation Network because I did get my daughter PS Vita, but to enjoy this open world and this kind of chattiness, this gaming, do you need those kind of subscriptions to pay for it? How does it work?
Yeah, even if you own the game. So PlayStation offer a store, you buy your game and you can play it offline and, you know, you can finish the game and blah, blah, blah. If you want the online content, you do actually have to subscribe to like the online add-on, as it were, the add-on package, you know. So it's a plus. So, but the interesting thing that Microsoft are going after now is actually streaming games and allowing you to pay as you play.
So you segue to it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because again, it's something that we've picked up in other episodes. It's a subscription service. So I think it's £35 in the UK. Could be 40. Don't know the exact number. I think it's £34.99, so £35.
So and you are currently naming Microsoft xCloud.
Yeah, I am. Cloud Gaming Service. And the one thing that is intriguing me about it is the fact that I don't have to own a game. I can, I guess in a way, PlayStation did sort of do it in a slightly different way. You could rent these games, but I see xCloud as sort of. It does have a slight advantage over the PlayStation, I must say, in that respect. And PlayStation have said a lot of things, and there's lots of brouhaha-ing around the internet about, you know, why isn't PlayStation doing the same as Sony doing the same as Microsoft in offering? And they said they wouldn't because they wanted to offer exclusive content and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I like the idea that I don't have to install a game because you kind of do. That's the thing, you have to install some of it because as I say, these games are ginormous. I mean, they're
the size of the files are phenomenal.
Let's just you couldn't run. I mean, who tried it not so long ago? Was it our friends at
Donna's after
the goggles.
Oh right, you're talking about the Stadia. I'm not too sure how
Stadia. Yeah, so
now, it's interesting you saying that because I know the idea of streaming has been knocking about historically in the past. We've seen a few Kickstarters come and disappear and it's worked too well, and Nvidia I don't know if you know much about the history because they've got like the little set top boxes.
They're a bit of a dark horse, actually. They've kind of, because they power almost all of the graphics chips, you know, in the entire known universe, let's face it. And both consoles are using a derivative of Nvidia's chips because, let's face it, they are considered pretty.
This might tangent, but yes, they're getting stiff competition now. AMD is knocking them off their horse at the moment. There's been a major race this year. So
because You remember the old...
I can't remember which controls using which graphics card, so I'm going to stay away. But what I was going to hint at, I don't know if you heard of NVIDIA Shield and the Shield TV. So this is going quite far back. It's like an Android box on your that you plug into your TV, download the games through there and play it. And they try to like the old
Steam engine,
yeah, like the Steam engine. And so with NVIDIA has been playing around with it for a while. I think it just came out of beta with the NVIDIA GeForce Now, the cloud gaming service.
I guess they named the thing after their line of graphics cards.
Thank you for confusing us. So when search it up,
which GeForce are you talking about? The physical one or the one on cloud? You know, so,
yeah, exactly. That was very, very confusing. So I think maybe it's because of them, and I'm saying maybe, I don't want to put my name to it, but potentially there have been one of the main driving forces to push the idea of streaming it, that you don't need to spend money on the equipment.
It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder if it'll... I mean, it has to evolve to that degree, doesn't it, at some point? Because if you think about it, right, there are people who take gaming very seriously. So you'd build up your PC and you'd get all the bits and it would run the game and it would run fine. And then the next version of that would come along and it'd want a bit more, and maybe your PC could handle it, maybe not. And then, you know, if it couldn't, You're probably looking at swapping out a few bits and pieces in your PC, spending a bit of money on a new graphics card, let's say, a bit more memory, blah de blah de blah, and then your PC would then run that version of the game. Then there'd be another version of that game, and so I got a little bit, I wouldn't say annoyed, because that's not the right word, because I know it evolves, but in that respect, games dictated the hardware you needed, right? With a console. Right, yes. The games have to be dictated by the hardware, because you're not going to physically go and change anything at a console, are you?
Well, I think I've seen this year, especially, we talk about 2020.
You put a date on it.
I'm sorry. In this decade, beginnings of this decade, I have seen how games are pushing consoles to their limits.
Oh, yeah. See, it's interesting as well, that when you say that, though, is that, I've pointed you to some very interesting gamer videos on certain video streaming channels about the developers and how the development of that game took place. And I love watching those things, is that programmers will find. So, for example, they did a port of a game. I think it was Quake. I think it was a first person shooter like Quake or Doom. I think it might have actually been Doom.
I think it was Doom that you showed me.
And they ported it to a console. And, you know, that was, I mean, I think it was the SNES at the time, which was seriously the most underpowered. But look, that's not what Nintendo go for. I think, you know, Sony, Microsoft, they're the big hitters. You know, they go with the graphics, they go with the sound. Nintendo have a nice little niche around the sort of, you know, interactivity. They had that whole sort of motion capture stuff long before the other two did. And, you know, that's their kind of niche. And they're a bit more cartoony, as opposed to Fallout.
I'll say more family-friendly gaming.
Yeah, that's a good terminology. But I think, you know, to get something like Doom onto a console, onto a cartridge, and then have that, they had to literally work out the architecture of the chipset and force some of the maps into areas of memory which no one would have considered before, you know? So, yeah, you're right. They are literally hacking the hardware through, you know, their games, and that's impressive stuff, you know.
Right, yeah, definitely. One thing I have seen as well recently, because we talk about porting and all that, we looked at a website the other day. I know it's slightly off topic, but we'll hopefully come back. We were looking at archive.org.
Oh, yes.
And
gosh,
how they had the archived games from the MS-DOS day. So it was quite fun playing Doom on that again. And the fact that you're playing in the browser was absolutely...
Now, that was impressive, I must admit.
Yeah, so, I was very sentimental looking at it.
I know. I mean, back in the old days, if anyone wants to go and check out some retro games, I think there's a big retro gaming, you know, family out there. And I think those that know. And I think, you know, if you showed your kids one of these games now, they'd be like, What's that? I could get that on my mobile, you know?
No, no, one of them saw it when I was having, when I was supposed to be working. Well, I was shirking from home for about half an hour. Mm. One of the kids came into the room and they just looked at the graphics and they thought, oh my God, what is wrong with the game?
Yeah. Why is it so blocky?
This is how I used to play games.
This is top of the line. You're far too easy with your three-dimensional polygonal shading.
Well, don't you think, right? Let's bring it back. We're talking about the cloud streaming. We literally got to the cloud streaming. We mentioned NVIDIA GeForce Now. They've had a few issues. Microsoft xCloud. I'm not too sure what the current position is. I think there are ways of getting xCloud now. I think it's out of beta and the Stadia has been around. There's a new name on the block. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Shamazon.
Oh. Good Lord.
Now, this came out of the blue. While I was staring at the news for the whole year, I think it was in the latter part of the year, around the time that we're recording, in that Amazon announced Luna.
Okay.
For the cloud gaming service. Now, I didn't read much into it, but there is a particular challenge that xCloud was having with the Apple ecosystem.
Right, yeah.
And Amazon, they had a very good idea working around it. But I think before we get into this, should we have a break?
I think we'll have a 5-minute break, shall we? Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. See you in a bit. Hey, folks. Welcome back to part two. We had just sort of started talking about our friends at Shamazon spinning up a streaming game service, and I think we're just gonna hit it off from there, I guess.
Yeah, let's do Amazon Luna.
So you're the man. You're the man with the info in this in this part, aren't you? So
I did not read too much into it. I know it's still in the early stages. Amazon, out of blue, came up with this whole Amazon Luna game. Cloud gaming system, and they are, and it goes back to something you said earlier on where NVIDIA chipsets are everywhere. So yes, powered by Windows and NVIDIA GPUs. That's Amazon Luna for you. And what I was getting at with talking about Amazon Luna is because how they are putting it onto the app store so you can play it on the iOS device. And this is going back to looking at Microsoft xCloud and Stadia from Google, the issues with that.
So Apple originally sort of basically turned around and said no to game streaming applications, correct? I think that's...
Yeah, pretty much the sum of it, yeah. So before they actually finally released it all. Exactly. It's a very weird timing because... You know, for many, I'll say for a good couple of years or a few years, cloud gaming, the discussions and the foundation setting it up and then hearing these big names advertising it. And as we get closer and closer to a release time or, you know, into a later stages of beta, Apple's rules for the store came into the mix, and Microsoft had to admit, yeah, looks like we might actually fall foul of Apple's. I keep saying Amazon.
T's and C's.
Whereby, so essentially it breaks down, and there's been a lot of focus on Apple lately because of other things. So let's put it this way, Fortnite had that situation with. Apple and Google as well.
Go away.
So if you're a Samsung user, you would have been happy because, you know, phones have their own app store. So yeah, they find a little
Android device user, I think. Is it just Samsung, was it? Was it dedicated to the Samsung ecosystem?
Well, I don't know if it was Samsung Android only, but I know they did for a while have this Samsung exclusivity. So you go through the Galaxy store, which is the app store for Samsung, download it from there. Or you could get it from the website. Now, this will get me going on at a tangent here, so I need to quickly rein myself in. But that's where the issue came in, is, okay, how can we resolve this? How how can we how can Microsoft and Google and if Nvidia was getting into it as well? How would they do
get around the?
So they managed to dodge the rules by rather than having it as an app, it's making it as a web app. It's not a traditional app. It won't appear in the App Store. It doesn't need to. It's a
You just get to the website. As long as you've got an account, you can basically like the shareware emulator we were talking about earlier. The emulators,
That's right. Just like whatever
machine it is built into the web browser, and you're viewing it through a browser window.
Exactly, and that's how it would work. Nice. Hey, through your browser window, you can access it from virtually anywhere.
That's true, actually. A number of other applications have done something similar where they fell foul of Apple's terms and conditions, and they thought, well, screw you, we'll put it on the web.
This is where we think that Apple needs to have a bit of a grey area and put some human aspect behind it. I think you're hinting at, hey, that mail service app that came along. So this is quite an interesting one. I like the idea of the web app. You know, we use ServiceNow.
Sure.
We're not going to have ServiceNow locked into one particular app or you have to use it on a Windows or something like that. It's a web application, access it from anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't see it much as a workaround. I think it's the best way. I agree. And all those,
I guess a number of factors again. I mean, it's like everything really. Sort of your bandwidth, your quality,
What gets to me though, Amazon Luna, fairly recent, not much, I didn't hear much about it until they landed and they already had this little workaround in place. And you start thinking, well, it took Stadia and Nvidia and Microsoft, they waited this long. And someone's come along with, hold on, this is how you should be doing it, potentially.
That's true. That is
true. Yeah, it's quite an interesting little hint to look at from there. So,
keep my eyes on that, I think.
So Microsoft has been trying to get xCloud through the web app. And
right, okay. Yeah, I see where you're going with this, yeah.
Yes. Now, of course, Microsoft has got this interesting partnership with Samsung to get the Xbox Game Pass. There's a certain subscription pattern there. I'm not too sure about, so I'll get into it. But they have that little, I don't know if I should say exclusivity, but a nice way to make sure people on the Android ecosystem can get a hold of the Microsoft games through xCloud on that device.
Wow.
And the S20 at that time. But I want to throw something in quite interesting. You know, this is how good xCloud is. There was an article, and I think I should send this to you as well. Very interesting. It's to do with Doom. We talked about Doom earlier on.
Sure.
And it's to do with xCloud, and it's to do with Samsung.
Okay.
Someone was clever enough to stream Doom on a Samsung fridge.
What?
Much thanks to Microsoft xCloud. It's so big.
So basically it's a fridge. It's a tablet enabled fridge that's gone to a website, basically.
Yeah, so that's that what it is. That all looks at your food and orders food for you. I mean,
I'll order more milk, sir. But I don't need it. I've got 45 bottles of it. No, you need more milk. You need more milk. I'm telling you.
Exactly. You have fridges that do this stuff. They are internet connected. It's mental.
Yeah, it's like, okay, too much.
Too much. But it's just amazing that how someone was able to do that. And I think it was a guy on Instagram called Richard Mallard. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly, apologies if I haven't, and it runs in portrait, but it still looks quite cool. I have to, especially Doom. I mean, come on, it's Doom,
it's class. It's classic. I mean, luckily enough, I guess in a way Doom doesn't suffer from the sort of high detail graphics, shall we say, as some of the new next generation show-off games are doing. So Doom was quite a elemental game, and I think it has certain advantages in that respect, is the fact that it's extremely playable, it's extremely good fun, but it doesn't have to be the most visually compelling experience to to basically shoot Sean Moore, the rocket launcher. I mean, as long as they blow up and go into small smithereens, you're happy, you know?
Yeah.
You're happy.
And you see the guts spill over the place.
Exactly.
And
happy days, move on until someone crowbars you to death. And
it's starting to sound like Duke Nukem now.
this is a very subversive part of cloud gaming where people are really, really good at the game, and they'll go around with the melee weapon. There's a melee weapon.
Kind of weird random thing it does.
Either it's a crowbar or it's the butt of the gun. And they will refuse to use the gun in any fashion, but they will bludgeon you to death with a crowbar. And they're so good at it, the buggers do it. So you're trying to find out who the bugging hell's crowbarring you to death, and they've gone and you're dead. it's like shit. You were crowbarred by Death Becomes You or something like that.
I'm sorry, it's getting a bit graphic here. We are talking about computer games, not reality, people. No, please don't go crazy.
Imagine the mess as well. I mean, some bugger's got to clear that shit up. Good Lord.
Oh, dear.
Mop on aisle three, Dave. Somebody's been at the crowbars again.
Johnny, where is that kid? The blood is still there. Interesting. So let's start going a bit more into the news. Mentioning Doom, got xCloud. Let's continue with this Microsoft theme a little bit more see what other people are doing as well afterwards. But there was not too long ago at the time of recording, and it makes me think what's happening for gaming in the future, that Microsoft, they acquired the gaming studio called Bethesda.
Oh, yeah, Bethesda. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I played a lot of their games. Yep.
Now, for the people like me who don't really know what games they own, and I think they might be one of those...
One of the biggest.
Ah, there you go.
Do they own WoW? No, I don't think they do they?
Well, I know it was on Microsoft platform at some point, but yeah, the games, aren't they behind...
There's definitely Fallout.
Doom.
Doom was ID Software.
So ID Software and Bethesda are two separate ones. I'm wondering, is ID Software going to get taken over by Microsoft? Because I understand Microsoft has been...
Well, they bought Minecraft, didn't they? I think that's Minecraft is owned by Microsoft.
Right. So
they took a chance. I mean, they bought that for... I think it was $1 billion, I think they bought Minecraft for. Yeah, it wasn't cheap. But, you know, they were smart, though. You've got to admit, they got onto the sort of Lucas game of thought, and they started releasing all the sort of toys for the games, you know? And so they made a mint out of
I can imagine
the franchise, you know? So they weren't dumb in that respect. So. Bethesda I don't know.
Yeah, they are a big name. I just cannot recall the name. So this shows a limit of my knowledge with gaming. But I think the biggest thing that we both were ogling when it came out is the Microsoft Flight Simulator, the latest one.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah, I've seen a couple of...
Now, this brings cloud gaming
to another level.
Just as we're getting used to the idea of cloud gaming.
It's a hybrid game. That's what I'd like to classify it as, really.
I think that's a nice way of describing it. So would you like to give us a bit of the deets, or the listeners a bit of the deets, what we're getting at?
So Flight Sim has always been a sort of, I don't know, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? It's part game, part simulator. So it's obviously quite popular back in the day, and then it had a bit of a hiatus for a reason that we won't touch on here. yes, that one. and then it sort of fell foul. Now it's come up with this beautiful sort of downloadable content. So as you fly across the world, it will put things and the actual skyline and the actual, you know, so for example, if you're flying around central London, which wouldn't necessarily be possible at any sort of time of day, you can go around the Houses of Parliament. You can fly around, you know, the New York Tower. You can fly around the Great Wall of China, for example.
And if no one's getting it, what we're trying to describe is something that's hyper-realistic.
Yeah, it is extremely good. I mean, to look at that, I mean, look, I mean, here again, we go back to stage one, don't we? Going to need a pretty powerful PC to get that sucker working, to be fair. You know, I think you're going to need some bit of grunt.
So this is where it gets to as close as possible to next gen. You don't need a huge hard drive or anything for it. Microsoft has been mapping the entire world using their own
big maps.
So using their Bing platform,
they put their technology of mapping into a game, essentially.
Yeah, so it's downloading details into the game as you're doing it, including real-time weather and traffic.
That's true.
So if you want to overlook London, as you said, Parliament, you can see the cars go by and make it look a bit more realistic.
Well, it's pissing rain, usually.
Or very cloudy. And I did hit a bit of a... I'm not a hardcore fan of flight simulators, but I found myself watching the YouTube videos of people playing and trying it out.
It's extremely sort of... It's very relaxing. It's one of those sort of Sunday afternoon, let's go watch some fly a plane or something. But no, it's actual... So there's a guy on one of the channels I watch, and he's actually got his PPL, private pilot's license. So he got in it and said, look, let's go to the hardest landing in the world and try and do it in a Cessna. Now, Cessna's a pretty small, so it's, I mean, you wouldn't want to do a 747 on it, that's for sure. And they do.
Tell me about the Cessna.
So the Cessna is a sort of biplane. It's a propeller-based. Okay. Very simple. Generally, people learn to fly in Cessnas. I have done some research because I did sort of want to be a pilot at one point and thought, no, none of that. Thank you very much. The aviators don't fit. I didn't. But no, yeah, I guess, you know, it's when you sort of, I mean, he's not a professional pilot, but he does have a pilot's license. So he sort of gets in normal planes and he gets in the flight sim and he's like, obviously, I'm not getting the wind buffering. I'm not getting the turbulence. And, you know, that's just accountable. But visually, everything's there. Everything works. Everything reacts the way I want it to. It does the things. And if I go lower, I see things more in detail. And if I go higher, then things get a bit more, you know, blurry and clouded, you know, as it would in real life, you know. And he said it's a very good approximation of reality. And you have to give them the thumbs up for that. You have to. It's a beautiful way of amalgamating two technologies that would not have otherwise come together.
Well done. I have heard there have been, there are challenges if you want to get into the flight simulator. So we're talking about something heavily detailed, right? So you do need a fast internet connection. And since you mentioned that it is Mahoosive, the first time, just to start off, you need to download an additional, I think it was 90-95 gigabytes.
Ooh, ouch.
To make a start in it. Yeah. So if you're on a slow or catch internet connection, you will suffer. Yeah.
Yeah. Going to be there a while. Even on the sort of gigabit, I mean, you're probably looking at, 10 seconds out again? No. All of 10 seconds.
Please don't make me jealous.
I know.
Internet connections.
Still waiting, people. We're still waiting. Come on. Sort it out.
Keep an eye out for these guys like these YouTube YouTube bloggers like Austin Evans. Hopefully he's done something there, or MKBHD, or maybe Lewis Helsentiger from Unbox Therapy.
MS Flight Sim 2000. Whatever we are in now.
You know, have a nice big round monitor, you create the environment.
That's the other thing. You can layer up your monitors and create a whole. I mean, imagine, I think the next step for that will probably be along the steps of VR. I mean, you can see it kind of almost venturing into that space now. It's almost fully immersive. So you might as well just add it a bit extra and you could literally.
Imagine that with a VR helmet.
I mean, if you think about it logically, though, that's how these flight simulators, when you are actually trying to be a pilot, work. That is an application running in a thing that has, you know, hydraulics.
So we're talking about real world use cases here now. So this is how you see.
I mean, I think that's specialist software. I wouldn't expect them to put in hang about, Dave. Yeah, just got to load up 95 gigs worth of maps. I don't honestly believe that will happen, but it might. I mean, possibly, maybe. I don't know. It could do. I'm open to...
It's a nice little hint there because I did watch Sully recently.
Okay.
the guy who landed a plane in the water safely, saving a lot of lives.
Oh, and right, okay.
To try to prove whether he did right or wrong, they were using simulators.
Oh, okay. So and it was the best decision, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Land on water or everyone dies. Okay, so that's an easy choice.
Well, now, this episode is getting quite long. There's a bit more I would like to cover.
A bit more meat on the bone here, isn't there?
A bit more meat on the bone, but I think before we continue, shall we have our second break?
Doodle!
Right, we're back, and I just realized something I should have said earlier on when we were talking about the Microsoft Flight Simulator. Dan, we were just talking about this during the break as well, so just to let everyone else know, since we are talking about the cloud.
We are. This is a cloud, cloud thing we do.
It is a cloud thing. So I thought I'd just throw this in there. So if you think about the core flight simulator, based on what we talk about with Google? What the hell? Let me start again. With Bing Maps, not Google Maps.
Microsoft's
own Bing Maps being used to generate the 3D models. At the heart of it, if you think about it, there has to be a cloud platform. So we've talked about AWS, Google Cloud and all that.
Sure.
But of course, Microsoft's own Azure thing is powering it all on the back. And what makes it even more interesting is why we need a fast internet connection.
Because it's massive.
Absolutely massive. I'm reading what this article here. What did you say it was? From TechRadar, and they said, using an internet connection, the game streams all of this data from Bing Maps.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 petabytes worth of data.
Whoa, mama.
In real time.
Yeah, that's a shitload.
And so if anyone cries with a 95 gigabytes of the machine, cry about the 2 petabytes.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of stuff. On a real time, right?
Yeah, so when people try to say, oh my God, you need 120 gigabytes just to play the game, you know why.
Yeah, now you know why.
Now you know why. But let's
That's just the tip of the massive iceberg.
Oh God, yes. But we want to move this on. We've got so much today. This is a big episode for us.
Yeah, and, I think so. Yeah.
There's a bit more to cover. We do need to do a bit of control of how much we talk about. But in the aims of talk about cloud gaming or even gaming platforms, so you already mentioned the Steam engine, I think it was. Ubisoft.
Yes, that's the one, yeah.
Yep, they are overhauling its Uplay Plus subscription. What do they call it now? Ubisoft Plus.
Okay.
And the idea is that they will be launching integrations for that with both Google Stadia or Stadia and with Amazon's Luna service.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, they sort of spun up a few years ago and they had their own box at the time with their own controller, and I guess it I didn't really keep a track of it, to tell you the truth. But obviously if it's still around, people choose to use it. So this is just throwing the doors open to opportunity for them, I guess.
I think this can tangent off onto the App Store kind of discussion, which we can leave for another time.
I think so.
When we look at Steam and Ubisoft and others like GOG, they are giving you a platform to go find games to download and play. Before, we had to try find CDs or find some websites, and we never had a nice, convenient platform. So adding the cloud-based streaming is making games even more accessible.
Whenever you had a release of a new game, for example, big title that they'd promoted over the year, and there'd be queues outside the door, and then they'd have to limit you to one disc each, and all those, you know. Now it's just like, just download it. There you go. It's
Which
now
makes
yours.
It even better.
It does, and I think we're going somewhere with this. It's like if it suddenly becomes a service, dare I say, that gaming is a service. It's sort of need any specialist equipment. You need
be the client.
let's retract that a little bit. So I mean, what would you need? I mean, theoretically, if you're TV has a web browser, then as long as it's compatible and up to date, I guess
resolution and to be able to handle any
issue. Then that's all you'd need. I mean, potentially you'd need a controller of some sort, because, you know, how else are you going to bloody well play it? You know, I mean, you could put it with a keyboard and a mouse. I mean, that'd be the,
it's interesting. Even more interesting. This. Google Stadia.
Mm.
I know you don't like me saying Google. We could say Goggle,
nah,
Schmoggle, Schmoogle.
Schmoogle, man.
Schmoogle.
Scroogle, there you go. There we go. We've hit the nail.
So they were changing things up a little bit about the platform to make it even more accessible, that you can start using the Chromecast.
Oh, well.
You just need a controller to play the game. Is that they have
so the controller would be to your machine, and then your machine would be casting it to a TV.
Something like that, yeah.
Hmm, interesting.
So they have been doing some sort of tweaks in how they allow you
to... So is this the death of the console?
Yes. Exactly. That's my question. Now that cloud gaming's come in,
I think it's a way off. I think the technology's coming. It certainly seems to be going that way. I mean, it would seem logical that you don't have to own something to want to play it. If you want to play it, then it's out there. People choose to. I mean, it's a case of. If there's so many ecosystems out there, it's like any other service. You're making the choice based on either the content or the familiarity with the brand or whatever.
But would you say that it could potentially chip away at the availability of gaming? So, for example, the idea of we used to go mad over CDs, then DVDs, then Blu-rays, and now we're getting laptops without those drives, and we're to a certain extent okay with it, you know, we're living without it. I wouldn't say okay, but to a certain extent we're living without it. So in your view, do you actually see it as being a way to, your by the sounds of it, to accommodate, to provide more options for people, or do you think the countdown will potentially start where consoles are no longer needed?
I think it will possibly... I don't know if it'll entirely go that way, though. I think there'll be clingers on for a long while.
Yeah. I think I'll be one of those clingons.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just like the fact that I can just turn off sometimes. You know, I don't want, you know, I mean, because you know for a fact you're going to go on holiday, you're going to be on the beach somewhere, you know, your missus will be turning to you and you'll be sort of like bashing keys, you know. die. And she'll be like, what are you up to? He's like, oh, I'm just having a quick game. And it's not the most appropriate place to, you know, put shotguns to the faces of warlocks, is it really? You know? Hey.
While you're sitting on a nice, calm, peaceful-looking beach.
I guess some people, that's what they do enjoy doing. But, you know, I don't know. I think I'd like to see where it gets to. I mean, I will always game. I hope I'll always game. I'll have the dexterity to game even when I'm long past it.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on mentality here. You're getting towards that, aren't you? Because people who just want to sign off on the laptop because that's where they do the work.
You just want some downtime. Yeah, you spend your life in these virtual environments, online, internet, blah, 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 you know, in front of a desktop, in front of a keyboard, in front of a controller. And sometimes you just want to put it down and go outside in the real world, you know? Gosh, there is life out there somewhere, people, although we are currently not allowed to see it. So.
Well, I suppose, would you consider affordability? And this is going on to, you'd said this earlier on, you hinted at it, because it's all about having a powerful machine. Mm. So what cloud gaming. I can't say
lots
cloud
of shit
gaming.
In there.
Yeah. cloud, big fat cloud gaming. So you're thinking about it, the game is running elsewhere on a powerful computer and you just connect to it.
Yeah.
And I guess there are aficionados, people who want to have the most powerful gaming rig.
Sure.
And how much will that cost? What, $2,000, $3,000?
Really?
And some people might just prefer...
Try 10.
Blooming heck. Who is it?
Some of these game rigs are just insanely expensive.
Yeah, I guess you've probably seen a few LTT videos, Linus Tech Tips, how to put in gaming and affordability.
But if you go to a game shop in the UK, I don't know, it must be bigger in the US. I mean, before obviously this darn virus all kicked us in the balls, they used to have, dare I say, LAN games, going back to these, in-house. So you'd go there and you'd have esports and be like all these competitors in the same room playing the same games and just, you know, just having a good time. And so there is that community around gaming, I think. So
right, okay, I think we've got to the end of this.
I think we better shut shop now.
We're gonna shut shop, but we've already given ourselves an idea or a couple of ideas of what to talk about in the future to venture forth and look at. But I think you're right. Let's sign off from here. Let's
get out of here, guys and girls. Happy days. Stay safe. Enjoy.
Game on.
Game over.